you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Boy, it's warm in here this morning, ain't it? Woo! All right. Mark chapter 15. We had talked last week about being in the power of the presence of Jesus. Everybody say in the power of his presence. Oh boy, oh boy. The rowdy bunch must be on vacation this week. I said, everybody say the power of his presence. There we go. Okay, praise the Lord. They're awake, Tara. I got them. It's the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that can transform us. Church, you hear that? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the presence of God in our lives that transforms us, right? We can't change nobody. Amen. Come on now. We can't change nobody, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that transforms us. So how do we receive that? How do we entertain the Holy Spirit? Amen. How do we host the Holy Spirit in order to have the power of his presence in our lives? Thanks for asking. I don't know about you, but I want to learn to be a great host. Amen. How many of y'all in here like to host people? How many of y'all like to host people? See, I want to be a great host. I want to learn how to welcome people. And so welcome to Restoration Church. We're glad you're here. Amen. How'd I do? Very, 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 very dumb. Hey, we are glad you're here this morning. But you see people who host visitors. You have people who host guests. Like I said, some of you guys love to host. You love to entertain people. You see people who are there for one purpose, and that's to welcome. That's to make you feel at home. Can I tell you, we have some amazing ushers and greeters here at this church. Can you give it up for them, guys? We do. We have some amazing greeters and ushers. Can we, you know, I mean, you come in and you, it's the first thing you see is their beautiful smile at the door, and they give you a big hug. And I've had people that come up week in and week out, guys. They come up and they tell me out here in the greeter line, and they'll say, Jamie, I feel so loved and I feel so welcomed. Come on, that's y'all's greeters. That's your ushers and greeter team that's doing that. And they say, man, this is what I've been looking for. They feel welcome. And that's what they do. And that's the job of every believer. I said, that is the job of every believer, church, is to welcome the Holy Spirit, is to receive the power of his presence. Amen? So this word that Jesus said when he was on the cross, it was left in its original Aramaic language because the translators could not find exactly the right translation. They did not know how to put it into words what Jesus was talking about. It's found two other times in the New Testament where you will see the original language used. You'll see the original Aramaic language used. And because it was so hard for them to put into words all of the emotions, all of the things that was happening as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and the emotions and the words that were contained in this phrase. Mark 15:34. And it says that at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? So they left the original words. And then they said, translated. Did you see that? They leave the original words and then they said, translated. The best that we can do, the best that we can as translators, the best we can come up with, it means, my God, why have you forsaken me? What happened on the cross that day? The conversation between God the Father and God the Son. What happened on that cross that day was beyond our comprehension. It was beyond our comprehension, church. Listen carefully. The abandonment of Jesus the Son by God the Father and the Holy Spirit in that moment, the Holy Spirit lifted and left the God-man, Jesus Christ, all alone for the very first time in his life. The Spirit lifted, and Jesus was hanging on that cross. And he was alone for the very first time in his life. God Almighty turned his eyes away from him because he who knew no sin, in that ugly moment, church, listen, he became every sin of every person who would ever commit a sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He became that on the cross. Listen, the Father looked away. The Spirit withdrew his presence. And Jesus cried out, "My God, my God." The best the interpreters could come up with as he's on the cross. It's the best they could come up with as he's having this conversation. They really didn't know how to put it into words what he was saying. They heard such an agony as the presence had left Jesus. It devastated the God-man Jesus. And he said, "Why have you forsaken me?" What was it that killed Jesus? Was it the loss of blood? Was it the loss of blood from his back as he was taking the beating? Was it the blood that spilled from his hands and his feet as they drove the nails? Was it the blood from the crown of thorns? Was it all of that stuff, the spear in his side that caused him to bleed out? I don't think so. Did he die because of the pressure, the weight of the cross? We know that he collapsed on the way to Calvary and someone had to help him carry his cross. Amen. Did he die from the weight of the cross? It's not what killed him. Was it Pilate? Was it the Jews? Was it the Sanhedrin courts? Was it the Roman soldiers? I submit to you this morning, none of those things killed him. He could not die until two things happened. Listen to me. Number one, he had to quit speaking. Jesus had to quit speaking because there was so much power in the words of Jesus. He said in John 6:63, look, he said, "My words are spirit and they are life." He said, "The words I speak are spirit and they are life." And as long as he was speaking, death was held at bay. Amen. As long as his words, the same mouth that spoke the world into existence, the same mouth that spoke everything into existence, as long as it was speaking, there's no way that death could overcome his words. And the only way he could die was to quit speaking. Amen. The only way, as long as he was in conversation with the thief, Jesus would not die. As long as he was in conversation with the Father, Jesus could not die. So the first thing he had to do was stop speaking. Amen. Because his words were the words of God himself. The second thing that had to happen that caused him not to die, he could not die as long as the presence was upon him. Church, listen to me. He could not die as long as the presence was upon him. As long as the presence of God was upon him and the presence of the eternal Holy Spirit was upon him, he could not die. And that is my very first point. The Holy Spirit will keep you alive. Come on, somebody. I said the Holy Spirit will keep you alive. Hallelujah. He could not die until he stopped speaking and until he gave up his spirit. The Bible says he gave up his spirit. Church, the Spirit will keep you alive. But when it lifted, he released it. He gave up the ghost. He gave it up. He cried out, "My God! My God!" It was not the bleeding. It was not the soldiers. But when the presence lifted and the words of his mouth ceased, he died. And there is a clue that we need to pick up from this today, church, that as long as we are confessing the Word of God and as long as we are moving in the Spirit, you will not die spiritually. I'm here to tell you, as long as you are confessing the word of God and you are active in this word, and as long as we take time to entertain the presence of God, and in the presence of God, church, listen, you can't die spiritually. This church will never die if we continually activate this word. This church will never die if we activate this word, if we entertain the Holy Spirit, if we host the Holy Spirit. These two things keep you alive. The word of God and the Holy Spirit, church. Those two things will keep you alive. When you turn your back on this and you turn your back on that, those two things will keep you alive. They'll keep you alive. It's when the presence lifts. It's when the word is no longer active in your life that you die spiritually. There will always be life in our church if the word is preached and the presence of God is here. Amen. We will always preach this word, and he will always bring you into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This church will never die. There will always be life here. It cannot die. It cannot die spiritually if we don't ever lose the presence of God in this church. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus died naked on that cross. We paint him with a loincloth on, but he was naked on that cross. Why? Because he was the second Adam. We paint him with this, but Jesus was the second Adam. The first Adam in the garden was naked and unashamed. And many of the scholars believe that it was the glory of God. It was because of the glory. It was the presence of God that covered him, that clothed Adam. That's why he was naked and unashamed. But when he sinned, and when God came walking back into the garden after he sinned in Genesis 3:8, look, says he hid himself from the presence of the Lord. Watch this. Genesis 3:8 says he hid himself from the presence of the Lord. Now watch. Because when you get into the presence of the Lord, check it out. God come walking, and he said, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence. Hid themselves from the presence. Because when you get in the presence of God, not only will the presence of God, not only, and the Holy Spirit here, not only will it keep you alive, as I said in my first point, but the second thing the Holy Spirit will do is the Holy Spirit will expose sin in your life. Listen to me. Not only will it keep you alive, the Holy Spirit will expose sin in your life, church. And the reason that he noticed he didn't have any clothes on, he never noticed it before. Amen. He never noticed that he was naked before. He was clothed in the glory of God. But when the presence, he got into it, listen, he was in the presence of God time after time after time after time. But after he sinned, and then he got into the presence of God. Come on, church. He fell. He disobeyed. And then he got into the presence of God. It started exposing his sin. It started exposing his sin, church. And when you get into the presence of God, it'll start exposing things. The Bible said he was naked and ashamed. He got into the presence of God. He hid himself because he was naked and ashamed. The Bible says that it started exposing the sin in his life. Listen to me carefully, church. It's very important. That's why it's so important to do more than just go to church. It's so important to not just come in here and then just leave the same way you came in. Come on, y'all. We need more than little talks up here. We need more than a couple of little songs. We need to get in the power of his presence so he can bring up those things that only the Holy Spirit can surface in your life. When you get into the presence of God, he starts bringing up these things that Adam never knew he sinned or was naked until he's... And then he got in the presence and it'll start exposing things in your life. You get in a good Holy Ghost service where the Spirit's moving. And the Spirit of God just comes in there, whoosh, huh, comes moving through here, amen. And suddenly not in a condemning way, not in a way that puts you down and makes you feel, cause you feel like you're nothing and a nobody, but that gentle, small voice will start talking to you and start convicting you of things in your life. You get into the presence of God. The things that are not pleasing, The things that you've been doing, the things you've been saying, where you've been going, what you've been acting like. The Holy Spirit. Listen, when you get in his presence, it's amazing how he will gently bring these things up in your life. And he'll say, well, you need to repent of this. You need to stop doing this. Church. It's conviction. He'll start talking to you. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop. You need to. You know, I thank God for the power of his presence in my life. Amen. I do. I thank God for the power of his presence that exposes sin in our life. I thank God for that, as it exposes the sin in our life. Everybody say the power of his presence. I don't want the Holy Spirit just to bless me. I don't want the word just to bless me all the time. Sometimes it needs to blister me. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. I said sometimes we want the word just to bless us. Sometimes you need the word to blister you. Sometimes you need to read this and it needs to drive you to your knees. Sometimes you need to get in this book and you need to repent. It don't need to just bless you all the time. This thing needs to blister you every now and again. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It needs to awaken me to the fact that I am a sinner. If it wasn't for the grace of God, without repentance, without a need, I will sear my own conscience with a hot iron. That's what the Bible says. But when you get in his presence, suddenly all these things that you've written off, all these things that you've written off, when you get into his presence, he'll start bringing them back up. He'll start convicting you of them. He'll start exposing the sin in your life. Amen. We need that kind of preaching. We need these kinds of services. We need those kind of churches. I believe in the reason that there's so much sin in America, because there's so much sin in the church. Hallelujah. There's so much sin in America because there's so much sin in the church. Hallelujah. It's because we don't have enough of the presence of God to bring old-fashioned conviction that exposes sin in our lives. We don't have enough of the presence of God in our churches anymore that brings up that old-fashioned. When you get your sin washed away, you can shout. Because when you get your sin washed away, if we had churches that moved in the presence of God and you get your sin washed away, you can shout. You can be happy. You can be joyful. You have authority and power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Church, come on. Thank you for the power. Everybody say the power of his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Can we let the Holy Ghost in this morning? Can we let the Holy Ghost in and say, come on, stir me up. Don't just bless me this morning, blister me this morning. Come on. Don't just bless me, Holy Spirit. I want you to blister me this morning. Can we do that? Welcome him here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We're so concerned about the presence of his power. I want miracles. I want healing. I want this. I want signs. I want wonders. We're so concerned about the presence of his power. We need to be more concerned not just with the presence of his power, but what about the power of his presence? Everybody say the power of his presence. Come on. Hallelujah. You know, Jacob, he got in the throne zone. Jacob got in the throne zone and he saw angels ascending and descending in heaven. He got to a place and he was in the presence of God. And he named that place Bethel, which means house of God. He went there. He said, this is surely the house of God. God had given him a vision. He's seen the angels ascending and descending. And then he made God this promise. In Genesis 28, 22, watch this. He said, God, if you'll bless me, watch what he said. He said, I'll give you a tenth of everything I make. When he was in God's presence, God never one time brought up money. It's about your money. It's not. when he was in God's presence, I want you to look at this. God never one time brought up money. Never. As God continually blessed Jacob. See, what's amazing is when you get in God's presence, the Holy Spirit will bring things up that you never thought of. Watch what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit will bring things up to you that you never even thought of. Where did that come from? Listen, where did that come from? Where did Jacob come up with this idea to give God a tenth of everything? He was in the presence of God. He got in the presence of God. And when he started tithing, listen, it wasn't out of law or obligation, church. He started tithing. It was out of love, and something that happened in the secret place, something that happened in the presence of God. You've got to understand this now, because he began to tithe and God blessed him mightily. And look what happened to him in Genesis 30, 43. Watch this. It said that Jacob became very, very wealthy. Thanks for that rousing applause. Y'all missed it. You missed it, church. He was in the presence of God. God never asked him for a dime. He got in the presence of God and something started happening. And he says, God, you bless me. It's all yours anyway. He said, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to give you a tenth of everything you give me, God. And look what happened. He became very wealthy. Hallelujah. When you get in the presence of God, he'll stir up the good and the bad. Amen? Stirs up the good and the bad, church. Watch this. There are things in your life that you haven't even thought about, listen, that you'll only find when you get in the presence of God. There are things in your life that you've never thought about. There are ideas that you have. There are dreams that you have. There are things that God put in you that you have no idea until you get in the presence of God. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? There are things that you will never know until you get into the presence of God. Hallelujah. When you get in the power of his presence, a lot of things come out. Right? Come on, church, a lot of things come out. That's good. He begins to stir. He begins to stir some things in you. Things start to come out. Ideas start to come out. He'll bless you. And sometimes he'll blister you. Woo! Glory to God. Come on, thank him for the blistering this morning. Sometimes he'll just say, you need a good blistering. When's the last time you really felt conviction? When's the last time you really felt conviction? Church, when's the last time you grieved over sin in your life? When was the last time you grieved over sin in your life? You haven't been in his presence. You haven't been in his presence. When you enter into his presence with praise, watch this, he enters into your circumstances with power. I said, when you enter into his presence with praise, he enters into your circumstances with power. And the more you enter into his presence with praise, the more he will enter into your circumstances with his power. Hallelujah. Listen, man may be maxed out on his thinking, but God is never maxed out on his power. Amen. Man may be maxed out on his thinking, but God is never maxed out on his power. Faith places no limitations on God, but listen, God places no limitations on faith. He places no limitations on faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to entertain the Holy Spirit. We got to learn how to entertain the Holy Spirit in this church. We got to learn how to entertain the Holy Spirit in our lives, church. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. In the story of Noah, he gives us a great picture of how to host the Holy Spirit in our lives. Watch this. Chapter 8 in Genesis chapter 8. The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He opened the window. And he released the dove. The dove went out. And again, now I want you to listen carefully because it's a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But what's amazing is when he released it in Genesis 8, 9. Watch what he did. The dove flew out and he says he couldn't find anywhere for the soles of his feet to rest. Right? And that little dove said to herself, which represents the Holy Spirit, that little dove says, boy, that Noah sure is a good host. That Noah sure knows how to make me feel comfortable. Come on, church. That little dove said, I'm going back to Noah and his family. I'm going back to Restoration Church. That little dove said, I'm going to go back to Noah and his family. And it says that Noah stretched forth his hand. Look at it. And he took the dove. It says he drew him into himself. Such a beautiful picture. Church, listen to me. Such a beautiful picture of how to host the Holy Spirit in our lives. He said he took the dove and drew him into himself. The scripture, I want you to see this, because the scripture speaks of Jesus in John 1:32. And it says when the dove had descended on him, the Holy Spirit, when he was baptized in water, and it remained on him. You see that? It says it remained on him. How do we get the dove to remain on us? The Spirit come and goes. The Spirit, David prays, Lord, let thy Spirit not depart from me. The Spirit would come and go in the Old Testament. How do we, church, listen, get the dove to remain on us? How do we get the Holy Spirit to remain here? How do we make the Holy Spirit feel welcome in our everyday life? Not just a visitation at church, but a habitation in our everyday life. I said, how do we, oh, come on, somebody, not just a visitation when you're here, but how do we get a habitation in our everyday lives of that Holy Spirit? How do we do it? How do we become like Noah? Doves are very observant. Just a little disturbance will make them fly away. They're very flighty. They're very flighty. There was no place for his feet to rest, so he came back to the man who hosted him so well. Amen. What a picture for you and I. Listen, and when he came back, he had an olive branch in his mouth. And the olive branch represents the anointing. Church, the olive branch, it represents the anointing. Notice that when the Holy Spirit comes and he's being received well, that he brings the anointing with him. Listen, he brings the anointing with him. He brings with him. It was in his mouth. The olive branch was in his mouth. Okay? It was in his mouth. And it was evidence of a new world that was coming. Church, it was evidence of a new world that was coming. It was the down payment on what else was out there. Church, it was the down payment. And when the Holy Spirit comes to your life and we host his presence with worship and clean living, and we host his presence by glorifying God and honoring him and just being aware of his presence in our life, he will bring evidence of a new world to come for you. I promise, church. In other words, the olive branch represented a new creation. The olive branch represented a new creation. The old world had been washed away, and now there was a new creation coming. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the dove will bring to your house a language called the Holy Spirit language. And it's a down payment on the world to come. It's a down payment on the world to come, church. It's a down payment. And it's proof that there is a new creation that can happen in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The old things have passed away. The old things have passed away. The dove is a type of the Holy Spirit, and he came with that olive branch in his mouth, representing that there's peace out there, Noah. He came with that olive branch representing the storm's over, Noah. The storm's over. There's peace out there. And when we learn to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, no matter what kind of storms we're going through, he can bring peace to us right in the middle of the storm. Amen. No matter what we're going through, even when you don't know what to pray for, can I tell you, that's his job. even when you don't know what to pray for. Look at Romans 8, 26. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Even when you don't know what to pray for, when you're in the power of the presence of God and you're full of the Holy Spirit, he prays for you. That's his job when we host the Holy Spirit. This stuff of acting like, well, just going to church on Sunday is enough. It's not enough. It will not be transferred to your children and your children's children just by coming to church for 1 hour a week. You have got to be in the power of the presence of God. We've got to have more than head knowledge. We've got to have more than talks on Sunday. We need the power of his presence in our services every week. Every week, church, we need it. We got to have it. Hallelujah. Listen, that's why the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and I want you to see this because the Bible says in Luke 8, 44, watch this, that she touched the hem of his garment. I've heard people preach it, and maybe you have or haven't, but she didn't touch him. She didn't touch him. She didn't touch Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. She was made whole. She didn't touch him. Listen, she touched something that touched him. She touched something that touched him. And if you're here today and you just touch him, oh, come on, church, and you get into his presence and you do more than have just a church service and you actually have an encounter with God and then you go back to work and then you go back to school and then you go back to your office and then you go back to people who don't even know the Lord, even in your family, and even though they might not ever want to touch Jesus because you touch him, you can touch them. Because you've been in the presence of the Lord, you can touch them. Come on, church. And then people will come up to you because you're full of this word right here and you're full of the presence of God. And people come up and talk to you. And because you've been in the presence, God will bring something up and he'll say, oh, yeah, tell them this. Because you've been in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the problem is, how long has it been since you personally have touched him? That's the problem. How long has it been since you personally, church, come on, since you've touched him?
Well, I came to church.
Well, you have an encounter with presence. Has he moved you? Has it moved you? The Bible says of the disciples, watch this, in Acts 4:13, that they took note of them, that they were unlearned, uneducated, untrained men, that they had been with Jesus. They said, oh my God, we can't explain it. These guys are idiots. We have no idea, but they are so brilliant. And it's not because they've been to a university. It's because they've been with the Lord, and there's something irresistible about him. It's because they've been in the presence of God. These were untrained, unlearned men, and they got into the presence of God. Hallelujah. In other words, they got close to him and touched them. They were uneducated, unlearned men. And it's because they were in the presence of Jesus. People are looking at them, they're like, my God, did you? Hallelujah. They were unlearned, untrained men. Jesus. Our job as Christians, once you're saved, is not to have some distant, cold, callous, used to be, has been relationship with Jesus, but it's to be in his presence, it's to be full of his word, so that when the lost and dying community that is dying all around us, we have such a heart for them that we can touch him for them. Come on, church. That we're in the presence of God for them. For the community that's dying all around us. Turn to somebody and say, touch him for them. Touch him for them. The only Jesus they will ever know is the Jesus they see in me and the Jesus they see in you. Amen. Tell somebody, touch him for them. Hallelujah. Church is not about you all the time. Church is not about you all the time. Come on, church. It's not about you all the time. What this service is supposed to be is not another bless you again. That's not what this is. See, Paul put it like this right here, and I want to show you this. 1 Timothy 5:21. Paul said, I charge you. Everybody say charge. He said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I shock you. There's a difference between a shock and a charge. Come on, church. There's a difference between a shock and a charge. When I was a little boy, me and my brother Ricky, we're going to find out who the real man is in this family. Yeah. Joe, you know what I'm talking about, Salter. We're going to find out who the real man is in this family. We're going to ask you to hold on to that electric fence the longest. Oh, yeah. See who the man is now. Whew. Well, I'm afraid that's what we do, ain't it? Ain't that what we do? We come to church for the shock. Oh, Dustin played my favorite song. Oh, zap. Dustin played my favorite song. Jamie preached on my favorite scripture. Come on. You get a little shock. You get a little shock. You know what the problem with a shock is? It's temporary. You know what the problem with the shock is? It's temporary. Come on, church. But a charge? If you get in the power of his presence and you really soak it in and you get charged, you don't get a little shock. Then when you walk out of here, it's not just an electrical feeling at Restoration Church during the sermon or during the music, but my batteries are full. My batteries are full. I didn't just get some little electrical shock there. Praise Jesus. You walk out of here, your batteries are full. Glory to God. Woo! Now I close with this. Come on. Come on, I'm trying. I love Moses' attitude in Exodus chapter 33. God said to him, my angels will go before you. Watch what he said. He said, my angels will go before you. He said, my angels prepare the way. He said, I want you to move forward, Moses. It's time to go. My promises are in you, and my angels have prepared the way for you. It's going to happen. But God said, I'm not going, because I'm so upset at those people down there dancing around that golden calf. He said, so I'm not going. He said, my promise is in you, Moses. The angels go before you. Now go. And Moses put on the brakes. Come on. And he stopped 2.5 million people. And he said to God in Exodus 33, 15. He said, if your presence don't go, then we ain't going. If your presence don't go with us, we ain't going. In other words, angels are wonderful. Promises are wonderful. Teaching of the word is wonderful. Head knowledge is awesome. Get all of it you can. But there is nothing that can take the place of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The letter killeth. The letter killeth. You can sit and hear somebody teach you this word until they're blue in the face. You hear me? And the letter kills. But it's the power of his presence. It's the Spirit that makes this come alive. Hallelujah. Come on. We got churches that teach the word. We got churches that teach his word, but our nation's going to hell. We got churches that teach the word, but our nation's going to hell because somebody's got to get in the presence with him for them. Church, we got to get in the presence with him for them. And I can't find shortcuts. It still takes fasting. It still takes prayer. It still takes inconvenience on the flesh. And it still takes worship to get into the presence of God. Let's touch him this morning for them. Let's touch him. His name is Jesus.